Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Goes for Quentin. Jarno goes out. Picked up by Burse. Off to the races. And gone for the touchdown.
Seen ghosts.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we'll get to football in just a second. We're going to squeeze in these calls here on The Morning Roast here on 95.7 The Game. Baldy's going to join us in about 12 minutes here on The Roast, as he does every single Tuesday at 7:30 in the morning. Do not forget, though, the 95.7 The Game knockout tournament is back. Win a chance to shoot hoops on the floor at Chase Center and dethrone reigning champion Mark Grandy, afternoon show producer. Contest to qualify will start Monday, January 27th, and go for 3 weeks, so you have plenty of chances to win. And again, listen in at 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour, starting Monday, January 27th, for your chance to win a spot in the 95.7 The Game knockout tournament at Chase Center. You must be 18, and you must be a California resident. Let's get to Devontae in Mississippi, down in the deep south. What up, Devontae?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, good, good.
Well, I just got a couple things to say. It's my off day, hanging out with my son, Anakin, and I love listening to you guys' show, and I love the Warriors. I heard about the Draymond report about him not wanting to mortgage the future, and I got something to say that I think you guys may hate me for. What about sacrificing the past for the future if we're not willing to move on and mortgage the future? Because right now, as we stand, Chasky, you said it, this team isn't going nowhere. But what about, you know, trading Steph, Dre, and Wiggs and fast-tracking this thing like OKC did, and a little bit of what the Rockets did, what they could do with just, you know, James Harden. But what about that? I mean, I think with that, we obviously make a commitment to Kuminga, see what we can do. We don't know really what Moody is.
Devontae, and, when you say mortgage the past, do you mean mortgage maybe Steph Curry as well?
Yeah, yeah, I think we should trade Steph. I mean, we got to do right by Steph. If we can't put a team around him, we might as well allow him to go and try to get one more championship somewhere. I mean, right now, I just see he seems demoralized. You know, like he's doing everything he can. He's getting double teamed all the time. And losses like last night, it doesn't seem like he's enjoying basketball anymore. It seems like he's just doing a job. And the whole point and the whole vibe of Golden State was you come there to enjoy basketball. I don't see that on this team anymore. When they're playing basketball, they may have great chemistry off the court, but on the court, they look like they're suffering. So why not trade Dre, Steph, and Wiggs, get all the draft capital you can, fast-track this thing, and then maybe we can get, you know, be better, and the organization and everybody around the Warriors, you know, can be something, have something to be excited about. I mean,
all right. You with them, Shasky?
On trading Steph Curry?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a last resort thing. That's if he comes in and demands a trade, right? Now, do you consider? Of course you consider. You're a business. You have to consider all things. But he's your biggest cash cow. And if you're going to stink, you got to have a cash cow. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have somebody that people relate to. Now, it's a totally different story if he comes to you and says, I want out. You know, I just keep thinking about, like, what are your options, right? Like, you, in the offseason, at the end of last year's deadline, right, we were approaching the deadline. I was like, oh, we're going to have more options in the offseason. It's like there's always a disgruntled star. And then we came to the offseason, and that disgruntled star essentially was Paul George. And it felt like you know, they were going to have to sacrifice a lot to get him, whatever. All right. Like, your options aren't great. Those guys usually come with flaws, right? And then Lauri Markkanen, oh, but you had to give up too much, and they weren't going to deal with you. And all right, well, we're going to wait, and we're going to push this off until we get to the during the season. We'll wait for the disgruntled star. Well, now the disgruntled star is Jimmy Butler. And similar to Paul George, comes with a lot of risk and comes with a lot of, like, ugh, like, feel like I'm driving this thing off the cliff the second I get him, right? So, to me, hoping that someone is disgruntled isn't a plan. They need a plan and a direction. Now, I would be listening to, if there's some way you could pry, like, Joel Embiid out of Philly, who's got a lot of risks and he gets hurt a lot, but his timeline kind of matches what I'm going like right now. You got to throw in a lot to get him. It'll probably cost you Draymond and Wiggins and stuff. Like, maybe Kuminga as well on that one. At this point, I'd probably do some crazy risky move like that. Like, because they can't continue doing what they're doing. But they have to make a decision. Either you're all in and you're just going to make some wild, reckless trade, which at this point, I'm game for. Or it's, I'm selling off everything and I'm praying to God I don't alienate Steph Curry and I go all in on tanking. Like, but what they're doing right here is it's just not compelling, and I think that you're losing your consumer.
Let's go to David in Maryland. David, what's up?
Hey, Monte. Hey, Shafi. Thank you guys so much for taking my call. I want to give you guys a reassurance call. You've been asking all day, what do Warriors fans think? I want to give Shafi the MVP award in terms of the fan sentiment, because he is saying exactly what at least Warriors Twitter has been saying for, you know, the past couple of games. And last night especially, you know,
Warriors Twitter?
We usually do a little Twitter. Yeah, Warriors Twitter, you know, the fan base, you know, we talk on there. That's where we converge when we're happy or when we're upset. We need an outlet to get over this depressing past few games that we've been going through. And the consensus is exactly what you guys are saying now. I think we're all talking on the same page. Like, we need to let a lot of these guys go, and Draymond included. And the sentiment is also that we probably need to keep Steph and Kuminga. And you know, I don't know where you guys stand on Curry yet. I don't think we're all the way there yet. I think we're turning the corner. We'll get there someday.
Has Warriors Twitter conceded to trade Draymond Green?
Yeah. Yes, they have.
Wow. Wow.
Yes, they have. Yeah. We have come a long way. And Vontae, I want to point out that you're correct. We were at a point where a lot of people didn't want to say do that because, you know, Draymond's the heartbeat, et cetera, et cetera. This is your reassurance call. You guys are hitting it on the head. I mean, did you hear what Steve – and let's go to Steve Kerr. Did you hear what Steve Kerr said last night?
I did.
About Buddy Hield? I mean, if you want to understand why fans – I've been getting on, it's because Bonte, I think last week when I tuned in, you were a little confused. You asked Shafi, why is it that Warriors fans, and it seems like everyone is against Steve Kerr. I mean, listen to what that guy said when asked about Buddy Hield. This guy says, I trust Buddy Hield. I'm going to continue to play. Now, you might say we don't have the roster construction.
Yeah, what else is he going to say? Why? You want him to air out his player on the podium?
Well, that's what Draymond did on the floor.
I mean, he had no problem. He had no problem slamming the table down for Brandon Podziemski. I don't think anybody is safe from reprimand or criticism right now at this point. You know, Buddy Hield has not performed in the manner that suggests that he needs consistency.
I agree.
But Bonte, like, I feel this guy.
Ridiculous from Steve Kerr.
I feel this guy because on the real, like, what the hell equity has Buddy earned? Like, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Not Kuminga, who's been here 4 years.
Well, listen.
But I'm going to give Buddy. It'd be one thing if Buddy was like a three-time All-Star who came here. Like, Buddy has earned zero equity. Great start to the season. Completely horrific since.
Boy, the Buddy Hield dialogue.
That shot at the end of that game was so bad.
The Buddy Hield dialogue.
How much things have changed. Oh, the Buddy Hield revolution.
Oh, hey, my Buddy God. Buddy Hield likes Sam Darnold. Upside down.
It's what have you done for me lately?
I'm just saying this.
That's sports.
You know, for all the Clay haters, Clay never shot 30% from the three-point line in a month. The lowest percentage he shot in a month from three was 35%. Buddy's been shooting 30.5% since December 1st from the three-point line. And last night, what was he? Let me get the numbers. Last night, he was 2 of 10 from 3. 2 of 10 from 3.
Bonte, I'm curious, because I remember at the beginning of the year, you were talking about how, you know, the guys on the Kings pre and post were losing their mind over how good Buddy Hield was. When you bump into him in the hallways now, Draper and all of them, are they singing a different tune about Buddy Hield?
No, they were like, this is the Buddy Hield we all grew to love. and you guys are just late to the party. Seriously, like I always subscribe to, why is this guy on 5 different teams? If he was so good, he wouldn't be flipped over and over and over. He was in Indiana averaging 15 a game, shooting 40%. Indiana goes up and down the floor, up and down the floor. And they still flipped him to Philadelphia. And then Philadelphia didn't even play him. And they needed guys who could shoot on that team. And they didn't even play him. They played him for one quarter. He got hot. That's it. Nick Nurse didn't even play him. So I'm not trying to come down Buddy's road. Buddy's a role player. He's a bench player. He's not a starter in his league anymore. And now he's been thrust into a starting role. And this is what happens. When Buddy Hield has to be your second or third best player, you're going to get results like last night. It's not an indictment on Buddy Hield. He's 32 years old. He's well-traveled. He's a three-point specialist.
Fonte, I have a feeling tonight when I go to Chase Center, I might see better shooting and better finishing of a game at the Bruce Mahoney than I've seen from the Warriors in the last 2 months.
You just might.
It's just sad.
You just might.
Oh, God.
You just might.
It's just sad.
We got Baldy coming up in 3 minutes. Let's flip it for a second. We'll get back into the Go to St. Warriors because there's a lot of meat on the bone there. And we still haven't dove into the entire article yesterday by Vincent Goodwill in Yahoo Sports about where the Warriors are at. And the Draymond said, hey, look, Steve, Steph, and myself all disagree with mortgaging off the future of this organization, saying that we're going for it right now. Bad teams do that. Bad organizations do that. We're not neither one. So, what is going to happen with the Golden State Warriors? What does that even mean? Now, what does Sam Darnold's performance last night mean for the Minnesota Vikings? And I wonder if Baldy feels like this. When you asked him a question about John Lynch, what should he do about the quarterback position? Here's Baldy's answer. What is this, a month ago?
On December 17th.
December 17th. After what game? The Rams game? Was this after the Rams game?
I think, was that right? Yeah, I think that was the week right after the Rams game. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Here's what Baldy had to say.
I'd say I'd go flip him for Sam Darnold right now.
Wow.
I mean,
wow.
Why would, like, so Minnesota, like, look, let's just think about Sam for a sec. He sat there as a backup all year. He learned what a first-class franchise, game planning, how to build a team. Like, he saw that for the first time in his life. Now you've got Kevin O'Connell, who's an elite play caller with a very, very good offense that has a real style to it, and he's flourishing. Minnesota doesn't have to commit anything to him right now. All they're doing, I talked to the general manager 2 weeks ago, Quezzy. All you can play it out. They've got a quarterback they drafted. They don't have to give them top flight money, or they could trade them. Like, I would be having a conversation with Minnesota to see what it would take to get Sam Darnold back. He's a bigger, stronger, more athletic, I don't know, but he's bigger, stronger than what Brock is. Or can you play with both of them at a modicum of salary and afford both and, I don't know, have a competition?
So, that's what Baldy said a month ago. I wonder how Baldy feels this morning about that same thing, because that took the nation by storm. Everybody ran with it. And I also want to hear from the Niner fans who are willing to go all in on Sam Darnold as your starting quarterback for 2025. How about you, Shasky? What did you take away from that performance last night?
I mean, it was a magical season that came to a crashing thud last year for the Vikings, or last night for the Vikings and Sam Darnold. He was terrible. He's terrible in back-to-back weeks. Like, let's just call it what it is. The two biggest games, I guess, of the season and probably of his career. And then now you start asking yourself the questions of, like, all right, is this just who he was? Is our defenses, you know, game planning to what he does? Like, Kevin O'Connell, you ever going to run the ball? Not when you're down 30, but, like, at the beginning of the game. He did not look good at all, period. And so, yeah, your perspective. But this goes back to why, you know, like in sports, I want the largest sample size that I possibly can have on someone before I commit to them financially, one way or the other. And you're really only as good as the last, whatever, month, year of your career. Things flip so quick in the NFL. Right. He looked awful. Staring people down, holding the ball.
Last 2 weeks.
Throwing high.
Last 2 weeks. You know, I was thinking about this. If the Niners really believed in Sam Darnold, they had the perfect opportunity to start him the week of the Cincinnati game. And the reason why I bring that up is Brock Purdy didn't practice that week. He was in concussion protocol. And he finally got cleared, late Friday afternoon, maybe Saturday. But he didn't have a practice that week. And the Niners could have played it safe, saying, you know what? We have a bye week. We're on a short week. Purdy got banged up in Minnesota. Why not just start Sam Darnold against Cincinnati? They didn't go that route. They trusted Brock Purdy, who didn't even have a practice that week. And that in itself should have told me that, yeah, the Niners weren't really all in on Sam Darnold. They're willing to let him walk, but We'll see what happens in the offseason. Let's bring in Brian Baldinger. You know what? It's Shark Week. Let's hit that intro, London, when you get a chance here.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
Joining us now on the River Islands guest line, Brian Baldinger, presented by a proud partner, Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. Building better starts with Golden State. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Baldy's got the cutoff Texas Tech shirt. He means business. He's showing the guns this morning. We already know he can hit the splits on national television. We know that for a fact. We know he knows all the ownership groups and every player in every organization. But I got to ask you this, Baldy, as we say good morning to you. A wild card weekend was saved by the Commanders and the Buccaneers game. Of course, the Rams did their thing last night. But after watching Sam Darnold the last two weeks, watching Sam Darnold, would you still possibly flip him for Brock Purdy if you're the 49ers?
Well, I mean, the only reason why I said that a couple weeks ago, Bonte, was we were talking about, do you want to give Brock Purdy $60 million for top five money, or is there another option?
Yep.
And at the time, Sam Darnold was 14-2 or 13-2, and, you know, he was throwing 35 touchdown passes. He looked like a good option at that point. Now, he's been terrible these last two games, no question. Like, awful. And if you just spaced everything off two games, you wouldn't even have a phone call. Mm-hmm. But he's had five clunkers this year, five that looked like the last few weeks. But he's also won 14 games. They do have a 14-4 record. Now, you can say, all right, they beat up on the Bears, whoever. But he did throw 35 touchdown passes this year, and they did win 14 games. So I get all the fans that want to blast me. I understand. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But the conversation was really about money.
Right.
Because if you do pay Brock, and I've talked to Jed about, like, they've got the kitty ready to go write the check to be top five. But if you do that, and I think they probably will do that, you're not – some of the people that you know as 49ers are not going to be a part of this organization. Mm. You're just not going to be able – so it's a question of, is there a cheaper option? That's all this conversation was.
Right.
Is there a cheaper option out there where you could keep some of your star players? Because literally, under the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan era, they've basically been able to keep every single star player at every position, whether it's Kittle, Warner, Bosa. They've been able to keep every star player. Juice, you know, for this whole Debo, all these guys, they've been able to keep them. But when you pay the quarterback, a lot of that changes. And that's really all I was trying to say.
Yep.
At that time, that's all I'm saying now, is it worth exploring another option? And I'm not running Brock Purdy out of the organization or chasing him away. Because, Lord knows, we all love him. But they did finish in the seventh. They were 6-11. They were 1-5 in their division. The Rams are moving on. So you look at this and you go, is it Super Bowl hangover? Is it an aberration? Was it the crazy offseason with the holdouts? Or is there more issues at stake here? And those are questions that I'm sure John Lynch, Kyle, everybody's asking inside that organization right now.
You kind of threw it in there. You said you talked to Jed York?
Weeks ago.
What, so break this down. You walked up to him. He walked up to you. Was it on the field? Where was this?
This was before the Kansas City game.
Oh, yeah.
Out there in San Francisco, whatever week that was, Joe.
Okay.
So he came up to me. Jed came up to me. I was talking to different guys. And he was just telling me that his son watches my breakdowns. And they watch them together. He teaches them the game, whatever. So we got into Brock. I mean, Brady was doing the game. So there's Tom Brady right there, the goat of all goats. You know, and there's Brock Purdy in the contract year. And, you know, he just basically said, like, we know. Well, and at that point, Brock was playing very, very well. The team was playing pretty well at that point, I believe. I might have to go back and look at where they were this season. But, you know, he basically said, like, we're prepared. I think that might have been his actual word. We're prepared to pump me up and pay Brock. All right, so I just figured, okay, Brock Purdy's going to be a part of this thing. But, you know, for 2 out of 3 years, he hasn't finished the season. There's been some injury concerns there. You know, there's a little bit of instability there at that position for the first time because it's a contract year, and you're not on that rookie, you know, seventh-round pick contract anymore. There is a little bit of uncertainty that surrounds the position.
Let me ask you about Darnold from what we saw the last 2 weeks, because I'm with you there. Jed York, he's already said he's going to reset the market with Brock Purdy, and what he told you before the Kansas City game, all signs point to Brock Purdy being a quarterback for the Niners in 2025. But what about Sam Darnold now? The decision Minnesota has to make. He's a captain of the team. As you mentioned, he threw 35 touchdowns. They have J.J. McCarthy, their first-round pick, who's going to be healthy next season and compete for that starting job. What's next for Darnold? Should he be a starter in this league? Has he played well enough to be a starter on a good team in this league?
You can't deny 14 wins and 35 touchdown passes. You can't deny the success that he's had. Like I said, he's had 5 clunkers, including these last 2 that everybody watched. But you know, I remember talking to the general manager before the Atlanta game, probably like week 14. And he said, we're not in any rush to make any decision. Let's play it out. Well, play it out as bad as you can play it out. So I don't know what Minnesota is going to do because obviously they drafted a quarterback to be the starter and to be the future. And the season ended unceremoniously. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do now, if they're going to make Sam. My guess is they're going to let Sam go test the market. That's my guess. Let him go test the market, and then give the Vikings a chance to match anything that he gets out there if they so desire to do it. And that sort of takes Minnesota a little bit off the hook. I mean, Sam wants to be there. I know that he likes it there. But if you let Sam go test the market, let him go talk to the Giants or whoever it is, 49ers, whoever might be interested. They can kind of figure out what the market is by what teams offer. Maybe he takes a little bit of a haircut to come back and then compete for the job with McCarthy. I don't know. But that's my guess right now, is they're going to let Sam go test the market and then give the Vikings the opportunity to match that.
Well, they also have the franchise tag in their back pocket, which they could conceivably use, $41 million guaranteed. There's a lot that goes into it. When you see Darnold and all these quarterbacks, I'm watching just 49er fans react to the other quarterback play and comparing and contrasting it to Brock Purdy. Do you feel better about Brock after seeing this weekend of football games? Does it not change your opinion whatsoever? Is it more about evaluating him from the regular season? Where do you shake down when you see Niner fans? Oh, look at quarterback X stinks. I'm taking Brock over him. You know, where do you shake down on those types of comps and contrasts?
Well, I mean, you got 8 quarterbacks left. You got 2 guys that were taken with the first pick, right? Stafford and Goff. You've got 2 guys that were the second pick in the draft, and CJ and Jamie. They both played outstanding on Sunday, right? We know what Stafford has been. We know what Goff can do. And then you're looking at MVP-level players like Mahomes and Lamar. You know, you're not going to put Brock in that category with those players. You're not going to put him in the category of Josh Allen. You're just not physically. You're just not going to do that. But can he be there with Jalen Hurts? Can he be there you know, with some of these other four, Baker and some, yes.
Herbert.
Put him right there. Herbert, you know, you can put him right there. Now, Herbert has his worst day as a pro. All right? Now, is that because of the pass rush? Like, he just played awful outside of throwing the ball to McConkey. After having, you know, 2 more interceptions in 1 game and 2 all season combined. It's just, like, but is that playoff football? You know, is that, you know, can you mentally make that jump and play at that level when you got to play your best? You know, I mean, Jaden Daniels was unflappable.
Yep.
Like, nothing can disturb that guy. And his athleticism is elite. So, look, we have talked about Brock in this category of quarterbacks that we're talking about right now in the divisional round. He's got to be healthy. The team around him has got to be really good. And, you know, you need a full off season with all of your compliments. If you get that, I believe he can play. He could be back in the divisional round. But there's a lot of things that have to get fixed around him. Very few of these guys. You saw Stafford struggling early this year without Nacua not Cooper Kupp, and a banged-up offensive line. He wasn't good. The Rams weren't good. So all these, outside of maybe Mahomes, but even Mahomes was struggling. You know, until they fixed left tackle position, he was struggling. The offense was struggling. They were winning, you know, but it was, they weren't winning because of Mahomes. You know, so Lamar looks a whole lot better this year with Derrick Henry in the lineup than he ever did. So it's not just, you can't just put the quarterback in a vacuum and say, here's $60 million, go win us a championship. Like, you, every one of these guys needs a lot of help.
Baldy here on the River Islands guest line on Morning Rush here on 95.7 game. Overall, looking at these playoff teams in the NFC, we'll stick on the NFC here. You got the Commanders going on to take the Lions Saturday night in Motown. The 3-1-3 is going to be rocking. You get a heavyweight bout between the LA Rams and Philadelphia. We know what Saquon did to the Rams earlier this season. But looking at the 49ers, I know they're 6-11. But should Niner fans feel better about where they are as a team? Because looking at the NFC teams, there wasn't a lot of impressive play. Now, it's the playoffs. Green Bay looked a little soft, fumbling on the first play of the game. Jalen looked a little off, but I'm willing to give him a doubt. Should Niner fans feel better? How far away do you think the Niners are from contending with these teams that are left in the NFC?
Well, I thought the weakness of the 49ers team this year was the defensive line. Now, you can't look at the Rams and look at Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and Kobe Turner and Byron Young and say, the 49ers are in better position. Those are young kids that just get better and better and better. Like, they were dominant last night. Now, Minnesota's offensive line is an average group. All right, it's not Philadelphia's. Those guys didn't do anything against the Eagles, you know, back in week 11. But going forward, you feel a whole lot better about those young players and who they drafted and their player development up front. The 49ers have not been able to draft and develop defensive linemen. They just haven't. Like, you got to go find Malik Collins. You got to go get Chase, you know, Young. I mean, they haven't been able to. I mean, I know they drafted Drake Jackson, some of these guys. They're not there. So they have missed a lot on the defense front. And they put a lot of resources into their defense line. And I thought it was the weakness of the team. And one of the reasons why they were, I don't know, the 29th ranked defense in football. And how, you know, they only took the ball away 17 times. You know, the Rams, the 49ers were minus 10 in turnover ratio, the second most important stat in football. The Rams were plus 6. I feel like, now, they might have to eventually fix the quarterback. They might have to move on from Stafford. But it doesn't look like there's any slowing him down right now. Still playing at a very good level. So, I don't know. They were able to keep one running back, Kyren Williams, healthy all year. The Niners went through 4. Like, I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just the aberration. But I feel like the Rams are in a better place right now. We know the coaching is outstanding. And then the young players, rookie center looks really good to me. The receivers, you know, all drafted, you know, late, Cooper, Nakua, all really good. You know, the running back drafted in 5th. They drafted better than the 49ers.
Yeah, this was their first year that they've had a first-round pick in the McVay era. The highest pick they've had, 19 for Verse this year. On McVay, multiple times they played the Vikings, and their offense did really well against Brian Flores. What is it about his offense that is having success against someone like Brian Flores, who Shanahan was really stymied against?
Well, if you noticed last night, I mean, Stafford had 26 pass attempts last night. 11 of them he was under center. They're a heavy play-action pass team. All right, now, you can catch these guys like you saw Sam Darnold play-action. Here comes the safety blitz, blows the play up, changes the game. They're a heavy play-action team with under center. They don't get too far away from the running game. And then Stafford made elite throws against sticky man coverage. Higby on the opening drive. I mean, they're man-free, they're blitzing. The throw beats great coverage. You couldn't put your American Express black card between the defender and Tyler Higbee, and the ball's perfectly thrown. So, no, I mean, those are just some of the things. And they didn't turn the ball over. The Vikings have lived off turnovers all year. They led the league in interceptions, but the quarterback takes care of the football. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they didn't feed into Flores' system.
You know, before we get into this week's divisional round, because I can't wait for these games. I mean, Ravens, Bills, and Buffalo, 3:30 or 6:30 Eastern, snow flurries at Orchard Park. Oh, my gosh. Inject all that into my veins. But watching these golden four quarterbacks, and watching Mahomes and Allen, or Burrow, who didn't make the playoffs, and Lamar Jackson, where would you place this group of quarterbacks, this elite group of quarterbacks, compared to some of the best that you've seen in the 80s with Elway, Montana, Marino, 90s, Kelly, Warren Moon, Brett Favre, Steve Young, Troy Aikman. Then you got the OOs with Brady, Rivers, Manny, Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Eli. I mean, you got a who's who. Where does this group stack up, Baldy, in your opinion?
Well, it starts with Mahomes. So all the names you just mentioned, Mahomes is as good, if not better, outside of Brady, than all of them, whether it's Aikman or Marino or Brees or Manning, like he's as good as any of them. All he does is win. All right, so four Super Bowls in his 8 years. Lamar Jackson is maybe the most talented guy we've ever seen play the position. And that's not to undermine anybody else, but his abilities, what he did, it's just amazing. Pittsburgh played Baltimore 3 times in 8 weeks. They had no answer for the 300 yards rushing. No answer. Like, they acted like they hadn't seen read option and how to defend this offense. But a lot of that is Lamar and what he's able to do. Josh Allen is as talented a player at that position as we've seen. His playmaking ability, his size, if it's third down, he can run you over. If it's fourth down, he can run you over. Like, his ability to keep the offense on the field is extraordinary. So, Jared Goff's the first pick in the draft. They've got the number one offense in football. They score on everybody. I guess it's good, and you want to add, we always want great young quarterbacks. So we don't know what Jaden or CJ are going to be 5 years from now, but when you watch them, the eye test is these guys are great players. Jaden is unflappable. He's a great, great player. Nothing disturbs that guy. Nothing breaks that guy's concentration. It's amazing. Like, all the guys you just mentioned.
Yeah,
you think about orchestration of offense. He's in shotgun almost every single play. He runs the whole offense as a rookie. The whole offense. Gets everybody lined up, motion shifts, all right, snap count. Like, you saw Baker, like, he's struggling with the snap count. You have the handoff there to McMillan. Ball's on the ground, changes the game. Like, those mistakes aren't being made by a guy that's running the whole thing at the line of scrimmage. Like, so to say, okay, the 80s, I mean, it's easy for me to reflect back on all those players you mentioned, the 90s, but this is a good group, a really good group.
You know, Baldy, it's funny you reference like all the whatever, read option, RPO, whatever term you want to call all that stuff. As I'm looking at the Niners defensive coordinator, and it's open, you know, up in the air. And as
Wink! We want Wink!
And as I'm looking at all these players in the draft, like, I truly believe with Jalen Hurts, with Jaden Daniels, with even Caleb to a lesser degree, Josh Allen, Lamar, if you cannot have the instincts on that RPO play as one of my defensive linemen, my outside linebackers, you know, like, you're off my board. And I think, like, Bosa's really struggled at that. And, like, where does he crash on the running back? Does he crash on the quarterback? What kind of defensive coordinator, as you're looking at all this new wave of quarterbacks, what should they be looking for right now? Because I've really haven't heard a lot on the D coordinator front.
It's a great question, Joe. So it's interesting. T.J. Watt did not get in the stat page against that game. Right? He's going up against a rookie right tackle in Roger Rosengarten. Roger Rosengarten. Like, he did not. Like, so what he did on all those read options, tackle the back. Every time he tackled the back. Like, that was his job. Go tackle him. He did it every time, and there goes Lamar out the back door. And they had somebody either blocking the safety or the linebacker was out of spot, you know, like Patrick Queen, whatever, was out of place. Both safeties are jumping out to stop Lamar, and there goes Derrick Henry, 44 yards for touchdowns. Like, the Steelers didn't have an inch. So, Wink is out there. Wink just, you know, helped Michigan beat Ohio State. I think, like, I have as much respect for Wink as a defense coordinator. If you look at the Giants this year, last year they tied for the league lead with 31 takeaways. This year the Giants with the new DC had 15. If you ask me what I want from my defensive coordinator, give me takeaways. Give me extra at-bats for my offense. I might give up more yards. I might give up some plays down the field. But if I'm shortening the game, if I'm taking the ball away 30 or more times, like, that's the guy I want running my defense. Like, it's going to make everybody better. You're going to break down protections. That's the first thing Wink does. I'm not here to blast Sorensen or anybody else. But you've got to break protections down. You've got to get Nick free one-on-ones. You've got to get Nick a free run to the quarterback because of scheming. Because of, all right, here we are in the ADAPs. Let's screw up the protection. Let's send somebody free to the quarterback. I remember, I'll give you one quick story. I remember the Giants were playing the Jets in preseason last year. So I asked Wink what the game plan was going to be. And he goes, oh, I'm going to blitz Rodgers. Because we played midway through the season, and I just want to see his answer to blitz zero in preseason. Like, he was already thinking 8 weeks ahead when he was playing Aaron Rodgers in a game. I just want to see what Rodgers' answer is to my blitz zero. I'm going to get it in preseason, and I'm going to file it and hold it to when we play him in the regular season. Wow. You know, the guy, the 49ers were awfully predictable with the defensive front. After Hargrave got hurt, the injuries, they wasn't very talented.
Wow. I will love Wink and Arumo. We'll see what happens with D-coordinator. All right, these games real quick before we let you go. I don't know if you're working any. I know you were at the Hulu Bowl last week. I don't know if you're working any games this weekend, but we got Texans, Chiefs. You got Lions and Commanders, Ravens, Bills, Eagles, Rams. What are your four teams going to the conference championships, Baldy? What do you got?
Well, I like Kansas City.
Yep.
They've had their rest. They figured out the left tackle position. They're healthy on defense. They're built for this time of the year. Houston defensive front gave Justin Herbert a great deal of trouble. Mahomes has much better feel when that happens. I like Detroit just because their offense is just so good and has been so good. And I believe that they're going to be tough to stop. I believe they'll score 30 on Washington or more. I like the Eagles. They put up over 500 yards of offense. You know, the last time they played the Rams hit the short stick in this whole thing. Yep. They played last night on the road. Now they got to turn around and come to Philly. Like, this is a tough turnaround. Now, they played inspired football, very inspired. They played fast. They outplayed the Vikings all the way. But I feel like Philadelphia is better in the trenches than the Rams. And then you go to Buffalo, you know, on Sunday night, you know, the marquee game of this whole weekend. And Buffalo had no answer for Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson in the last game. I mean, Derrick Henry went 80-plus yards on the opening play of the game last time. Baltimore never looked back. I think their pass rush has just gotten better and better and better. I like Baltimore to go into Buffalo and win this game.
Woo! Love that pick. I lean that way, too. I lean that way, too. But we'll see. It's tough to win in Buffalo, but I do like Lamar. This might be his time. Baldy. Cannot wait for divisional round. They say, you know, I got these guys. Hold on. I got to give Shasky some trouble here. I got Shasky, another producer, talking about the number one weekend in sports all year long is Masters weekend. And I'm thinking to myself, over Super Wild Card weekend? Over divisional round playoff games? Conference championships? Who are these guys, Baldy? You're in the cutoff right now, showing the guns with Texas Tech on your chest. Are you kidding me?
Look, if they hit a hole-in-one every day during the Masters, it couldn't come close to divisional playoff round of football. Like, it just can't. Like, we got through five duds, okay, this weekend. We had one good game. I don't believe that's going to be the case this week.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Plus, college football is awesome as well. No, Ohio State, Notre Dame.
Irish.
Okay, Ohio State was what a defense that Caleb Downs. Oh my God, he needs to come out.
I'm riding Riley Leonard in this one.
I love Jeremiah Love. There's so many players on Notre Dame that I love. We'll talk about it later. Baldy, you're the best. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Yep, you bet. Take care.
All right, Baldy. Baldy joining us on the River Islands Guest Line here on the Morning Roast. React to that. Plus, take your calls, 888-957-9570. But let's hurry up and get to the injury report here on 95.7 The Game.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Who'll be on the ice tonight for the Sharkies when they face the Red Wings in Detroit at Joe Louis Arena? Or actually, not Joe Louis Arena, Little Caesars Arena. take. Little Caesars Arena when they play their hockey game. Center Alex Winberg missed the Sharks game on Saturday against the Wild with an illness. He is questionable for tonight's game against the Red Wings, but did travel with the team for their current road trip. The expectation is that Winberg will play. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. I am due for a Sharks game, so I'm looking at the calendar right now. See when I can go to a Sharks game, damn it. That's what's coming up. Plus your phone calls, 888-957-9570. We can react to Baldy on the Sam Darnold front, divisional round playoffs, and then get right back into the Golden State Warriors, because I feel like the Warriors hit rock bottom yesterday on the season. They're under 500 for the first time all season in 19-20. They've started 22 different starting lineups on a year in just 39 games, and it feels like we're at a pivotal point in the season. So, Dub Nation, what would you do right now? If you had the choice, make a trade, stay pat, tank, what are you doing? What direction should the Warriors go in? We'll also recap the Yahoo article with Draymond Green and Vincent Goodwill. That's all coming up on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you and here for good.